am Tavis Smiley. I'm delighted to have you hanging out with us today on our program, and particularly in this hour. And in this hour, two conversations on the B side of this hour. Investigative reporter Abram Lustgarten joins us for a conversation about his new text, On the Move, The Overheating Earth and the Uprooting of America, as part of our continuing and year-long series on climate justice. But as the song suggests, we commence this hour in dialogue with Janelle Stevens, founder and CEO of Camille Rose Naturals, the world's largest black-owned, female-led hair care brand. Janelle, congratulations. Good to have you on this program. How are you today?
I am good. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so very excited to talk to you guys.
We are glad to have you on. Let me just start and make the most of our time by jumping right in. Tell me about Camille Rose Naturals.
So Camille Rose is my passion turned into a big business. I started my company back in 2011. I started formulating with different ingredients, different emollients, oils, butters, and herbs, and right in my kitchen. There was a need in my household. My children had like severe bleeding eczemas and very dry scalp, and things that I found in the retail stores just wouldn't do it for me. It would not work. So I just wanted to research, you know, what ingredients that were natural that could work on their skin and hair. And that's how Camille Rose was born.
So I take it that you are not trained as a chemist, are you?
I'm a kitchen chemist. So I have a master's in science, but I studied the body.
Right.
I didn't get into like the chemistry side of it,
right,
but I'm self-taught. So I consider myself a kitchen chemist.
I like that phrase, kitchen chemist. She is a kitchen chemist. First kitchen chemist I've ever met. So I'm honored to meet you, Janelle Stevens. Let me ask, what made you think? I love how you said, you suggested that this is your passion that you've turned into production, obviously, and done quite well with it. But what made you think that you could, on your own, go in your kitchen and figure out a way to create a product or products that would serve your own needs or the needs of your children? Like where did the confidence come from that you could actually figure something out in your kitchen?
I think it came from the love that I had for my kids, like mom, right? Mm-hmm. I know they were suffering, and I didn't like the way it looked when I, you know, bathed them. I saw their skin and how it would irritate them. So I think when you see your kids going through different stuff or not quite comfortable, as any mom will do, you try to solve the problem. And that's what I did. I took it upon myself to do so. I brought them to many doctors that prescribed a steroid cream. And, you know, you can only use that so much, right,
yeah,
without it scarring, right? And so I just said, you know what, let me study, let me learn, let me teach myself and figure out if I can do it.
Yeah. So take me back inside your kitchen, you kitchen chemist, you, and tell me more about the process. I'm curious about the process of how you develop your very first product.
So my very first product was actually a diaper rash cream that I love so much, it worked so well. And believe it or not, I remember saying, oh, I got to share this with everybody, you know, share with other moms. So I went to Google and I tried to Google like a manufacturer, how to get a product on the market.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember calling a laboratory and they started speaking language that I knew nothing about. Then they started speaking the cost, dollars. And I was, that really like, kind of discouraged me. So I was like, you know what? I don't have the money to do this right now. I just hung up the phone and went about my business. But I just became the love for making products and learning what different herbs can do and what different oils can do. You know, it just, I became addicted to it. And so I taught myself. I studied under an herbalist for a year. and started ordering ingredients to my house and went to work. And what did not work, threw it out. What worked, I kept and bottled it up.
Yep. Tell me more about. I'm fascinated by this backstory. I this is my way, as the audience knows. I love getting to the end of the story, but it's the backstory that fascinates me. How people navigated these particular journeys and challenges and hills and peaks and valleys to get to where they are. So tell me more about what you learned from an herbalist.
Oh my God! Like what different herbs can do to the body, the nutrients, what boosts hair growth, what boosts the shine, what can moisturize, like what herbs you can boil and turn it into like a tea and use it on your skin and your body, like the whole nine. Like it was such an amazing experience for me. And it was actually, we did it over the phone because the herbalist was out of California and I was still in Louisiana. And so we would just talk, and I bought books and then I ordered them and kind of played around with, you know, the herb that I loved and wanted in my products, just played around with them in my pots and pans. Yeah. I did a pinch of this. Yeah. And a dash of that.
Yeah.
And it came out beautifully.
I want to talk about those pots and pans and a great deal more when we come forward. I am thrilled to be in conversation with Janelle Stevens, who I think is Exhibit A of what happens when a sharp businesswoman who cares and about her children, loves her children, can in fact accomplish when she donates her time and energy and resources to something about which, as she said earlier, she is quite passionate. She is Janelle Stevens. She's founder and CEO of Camille Rose, the world's largest black-owned, female-led hair care brand. More with her when we come forward on Tavis Smiley.
Interrogating and unpacking.
That's what we do around here.
You're listening to Tavis Smiley. Smiley. Let's get back to more of Tavis Smiley right now.
So, Janelle Stevens, let me ask you, what have you learned in this process, in this journey, about black people in particular and natural products? I don't want to color the question much more than that, because I want to just tap into what your takeaways have been about black people in particular and natural products.
So what I've learned is that we definitely want natural products. We love using natural products. We are label readers. We're into ingredients. We're into organics. And we support products made for us by us. And organically, that was how Camille Rose grew from my kitchen into landing in all of the major retail stores.
Yeah. Tell me about that part. It's one thing to have become a kitchen chemist and to have discovered what you discovered that works so well on your own family. And now you want to share this with the world. But I know a little something about this. Getting access to those shelves. I mean, let's face it. There are millions of people who have millions of products, and everybody wants shelf space at Walmart. They all want shelf space at Target and Whole Foods and Walgreens and CVS. They all want shelf space, but shelf space is limited. I mean, as big as Walmart is, it's only so big. There are only so many shelves.
Right.
And so that shelf space is a competition like no other. I know the Walmart brand rather well after years of working with them. So give me a sense of how you started to get other folk to take yourself, your stuff, your products seriously enough to put it on their shelves.
Well, for me, I took my time and I decided to grow organically and not put too much pressure on myself, right? Mm-hmm. So I looked at my own e-commerce as a big box retailer and I focused there first. And every order, every customer that I had, I treated them as if, you know, they were shopping at a Target or a Walmart or a beauty supply store. So I started there and my focus was there first, right? Mm-hmm. And then I happened to meet a buyer from one of the major retail stores at a show that I did, a beauty show. Mm-hmm. And we had just such a great conversation that he decided to invite me up to to the corporate headquarters to kind of share my story and, you know, with the execs there. And so I happened to be at the right place at the right time. Mm. I had a great meeting with them. I went up by myself. I didn't know anything about this. I didn't know the retail language. You know, I had to kind of teach myself that. However, when the retailers decided, people have to be careful because sometimes, you know, going into those retail stores too fast can kind of really break, you know, your business. Mm. So I was offered way more doors than I knew that I could handle because I was still hand making and handcrafting all of my products. So I comfortably accepted 100 doors to start. Because, you know, I knew that I wanted to, if I got on the shelf, I definitely wanted to win. And I wanted to be able to afford to be on the shelf.
Yeah.
It's very, very expensive to go in, and it's more expensive to come out. So I wanted to continue to enjoy, you know, my brand, enjoy my products, making my products, and be at a comfortable place with going into retail, being able to manage my e-commerce, and still handcrafting until I found a partner that can help me produce the products on a larger scale.
Yep. I ain't trying to get all up in your business, but again, I am. Since you used the word afford, I'm listening to your story, as is the audience, of course, and I'm trying to imagine how, with all these fits and starts, I mean, to your point, and this ain't rocket science, we all know this, if you're trying to create anything, it ain't going to work the first time you do it. So you try it this way, you try it this way, you try it the other way. Mm-hmm. You said that earlier. That costs money. You're a mother. Mm-hmm. You got a family. You got kids. How did you afford to do all of this?
Well, I tell this story as well. I had a job. And when I tell people, I had a 9-to-5. And when people say, I know you heard this, so step out on faith and quit your job. And I tell people, stepping out on faith, definitely do that. But it does not always mean quit your job and just trust the process. You have to still do your job. And then when you get off your job, come home and work your craft double and triple time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, be able to afford, you know, what you want to do, be able to still, you know, run your household. Fortunately, you know, I had a husband to help with that as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I did not put pressure on myself at all. And I think that was the key for me, at least, for surviving and still being able to enjoy, you know, growing my brand.
Mm-hmm. And how did your kids, is my word, not yours, how did your kids feel about being your guinea pigs all this time?
They loved it. Like, it was definitely a family affair because they had their hands in screwing, like, the tops or the caps on the bottles. Let's all get in the car. We got to go to the postal service or UPS to mail off packages. So it was definitely, it had to be because, you know, I'm a mom of five. I have five little ones. So it had to be, you know, we all have to pitch in and do this together.
Yeah. So tell me about that moment when you realized that your stuff was growing fast enough, that people were embracing your products enough. You're doing your own e-commerce. But now it's growing to the point where you need somebody to help you to mass produce your product. You can't get into Walmart and Target and CVS and Walgreens and all the places, Whole Foods, all the places you are now. I ain't got to your global stuff yet, but just domestically, you can't get on all those shelves without somebody conjoining with you to help you mass produce your products. Yeah. Tell me about that part of the story.
That was so hard because, again, I knew nothing of it. And what people don't realize is for the first year in Target, I was still hand making everything.
Hold up. While you were already in Target nationwide, you were still.
I did. And I hired one person that she helped me. So we were still hand making everything ourselves. And then it really, like, I wouldn't advise that to anybody because it, like, took a lot out of me. And me just being so green and new to this business, I didn't know what I was thinking. Like, okay, I'll make the first order, and then I'm done.
Yeah.
Well, no. 2 weeks later, like, orders just started coming and coming and coming. And I was like, wait a minute, this is not a game. And I remember saying, okay, I have to figure this out. I have to find a manufacturer to help me mass produce. Well, that was a lot of the laboratories really didn't believe what I believed in. They wanted to change the formulas and add a synthetic and something cheap, and I didn't want that at all. I happened to luckily find a manufacturer that said, okay, well, I'll help you out, but a lot of these ingredients are food grade, so you have to purchase all of your ingredients yourself. So it was like he was just allowing me to borrow his tank, but I had to still, like, purchase all, like, huge amounts of ingredients, pallets, and send to his facility.
Yeah.
For him to manufacture for me. So the first 2 years was definitely a struggle. It was a learning process.
Yeah.
And yeah, once I figured it out, you know, it's been smooth sailing.
You said a couple of things I want to ask you about. Just watching my time here. Number one, what's been your takeaway? What are your learnings, your sharings about working with laboratories? I heard you suggest a moment ago that these initial labs wanted you to change your recipes, as it were, add synthetics, et cetera, et cetera. What have you learned about working with labs and doing it your way and being true to what you want to do?
My goodness, like, you have to really find the right partner there. You have to find someone who believes in the same thing that you believe in, or it will not work. That was a struggle. I've heard that, first of all, their trained chemists didn't want a kitchen chemist coming in there telling them what to do and how to do it. So that was tough. But you must, like, stay true to what you believe in. Don't be afraid to speak your piece, speak your heart. And if they don't want to do it, don't be afraid to just walk away and find somebody that you match perfectly with.
Yeah. I want to ask you, Janelle Stevens, how you discovered, how you connected with your customer base. Before I ask that question, I'm laughing. This show is always fun to me. I never know where these conversations are going to lead and how people are going to respond. But I knew that people would be empowered and inspired by your story and the story of Camille Rose. So you'll get a kick out of this. I'm starting to get all these messages now. I got my phone in my hand. For those who are watching me, you can see me with my phone in my hand. I'm getting all these messages now from all these black women across the country who are sending me photos of your stuff, the products that they use. I'm looking at one right now. Yeah, this person uses Camille Rose Curl Love, the moisture milk.
Yeah.
Curl Love.
Yep.
So that I've got that picture in my phone. There are others popping into my phone right now as I look at our socials. People using your stuff and letting me know that they use it and wanting me to thank you for the product. That's fascinating for me. So tell me more about how in this journey you actually discovered your customer base, and who is your customer?
My customer base is my sisters that look like me, that talk my language. And I feel like strangers that I don't even know would send me a DM or email, hey, Janelle, like, I'm just their girl. And because I am, you know, I'm one of them. You know, my texture's like them, my skin is like theirs. And so I can relate to my needs and their needs. And so, like I said before, like, I'm formulating for me. When I formulate for me, I'm formulating for them as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask whether or not it was always the plan. These are the things that fascinate me. Was it always the plan, or did it just happen? Did it just happen this way that you are the face of your brand? I know a lot of people who have a lot of brands, a lot of product, but they're not always the face of it. Was that the plan from the very beginning?
Not necessarily. I think that just kind of happened organically. I think I became the face because I'm the mouthpiece, because I talk my brand all the time with whoever, you know, whenever. If somebody have a need, I'm going to talk about it, you know. And it just happened organically for me. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a good choice. Don't get me wrong now. I'm glad you're the face of the brand. But I was just curious as whether that was planned or just kind of sort of happened over time. So tell me about your global platform now. You're not just in Walmart. Well, of course, Walmart is international. But you're not just Walmart and Target and Whole Foods and Walgreens and CVS. You've gone global now. Tell me about that expansion.
Man, that goes back to when I was saying grow organically. Take your time and grow. And, you know, God has taken us all over this world. We've launched, you know, in Africa last year. We're in Europe, of course. We're everywhere. I have an international team, and a U.S. team. And, you know, I call them my rosette. Mm-hmm. So I have Spanish-speaking rosette. You know, I have my rosette speak many different languages, and we do events. Whatever we do here in the U.S., we're doing it there internationally as well. So the growth is real. I'm definitely, I thank God every day.
Yeah.
I definitely feel that this is my calling, and so I'm enjoying every, you know, just the ride.
Yeah. Right? I will close on this note, and you're right where I'm headed. So let me catch up to you right quick. When you look back on this journey, starting out with your making yourself a kitchen chemist, when you look back on this and you see all that you've been blessed to accomplish, and you're still building and growing, and you mentioned UK, Africa, Brazil, you're all around the world now. What do you, at this point at least, what do you make of this journey that you've been blessed to be on?
Wow. I was visiting the White House, and, you know, I'm such a workaholic that I seldomly take time to stop and smell the roses.
Mm-hmm.
And I was visiting the White House maybe last month or so.
Mm-hmm.
And as I walked through the White House, I'm just taking videos, and I go up the stairs and I hear this gospel choir, right?
Yeah.
And I was raised in a gospel household. My mom was very religious, and so I knew the song.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I walked up the stairs, I saw this gospel choir, and then I saw the painting of our one black president on that wall.
Sure.
And I got chills and tears came to my eyes, and for a quick second I was like, wait, God, why me? Why am I in here? What am I doing here?
Yeah.
And then I stopped questioning God right away, and I'm like, because you deserve to be here. You worked hard. Yeah. And so
no, that's the answer. You worked hard, and you deserve to be here.
Yeah,
And I'm glad you had that moment of revelation. She may not be taking time to smell the roses, pardon the pun, but she is the founder and CEO of Camille Rose, and she's done quite well. And this story ain't even done being written yet, as she continues to expand. Janelle Stevens, we celebrate you, we honor you, we are grateful to you on behalf of all those women that use your product. Thank you for this conversation. I deeply enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
Wish you all the best. More of Tavis Smiley when we come forward.